Good morning. My name is Jeremy Africa, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. On behalf of everybody who is helping to lead worship this morning, whether you're joining us here in the sanctuary or whether you are worshiping with us online through the church's live stream, we welcome you and hope that we encounter our risen Lord through our worship this morning. We have a number of announcements this morning, and so I'm going to jump right into them. I'm going to begin by handing things off to Nathan Snyder, who has a word to share regarding the video we just saw.
Good morning, everyone. Last weekend, thanks to the generosity of this congregation, 11 members of our very own FUMC Joyful Bells, along with 7 guests, participated in the Area 5 Spring Ring Handbell Festival in Columbus, Ohio. As you saw, the festival had over 650 attendees from 5 states. Our guest conductor, Fred Grayman, led the group through rehearsals where we worked on our listening and playing skills. Handbell experts, like our own Connie Nicholson, taught classes on ringing techniques, the use of bell trees, and playing new music, just to name a few. The culmination of the festival was a terrific concert featuring 8 pieces of music, including the piece that was written in honor of Connie by our former music director, Jance Black, for her 29 years of service as the Joyful Bells director here at church. The ringers who attended this festival wish to thank you, the congregation, for your support of our bell choirs. This year, it was a blessing to invite guests from other churches to join us. I'm hopeful that their leaders will take their own choirs in the future, but if not, we will continue to invite them and include them as one of our own. Your investment in the bell program here at FUMC has created a legacy that will last many years into the future, and we thank you very much. I'd now like to turn it over to our music director, Gabrielle Cook-McAvena, for an announcement about the Curry Concert.
Good morning, and it is my privilege and honor to invite each and every one of you, plus your friends, neighbors, to our Curry Concert, John and Hazel Curry Memorial Concert, that will be this Friday at 7 p.m. right here in our sanctuary. This year, we are hosting Tim Zimmerman and the King's Brass. Have any of you seen them before? We should see some hands. We have hosted them twice before, and they have been at the Midland Center for the Arts several times. This is a great opportunity for you to experience a way to worship God in a different way. They have a group that kind of revolves players, and this year we are excited to have them during a touring season when they normally wouldn't be up our way too often. So please come. It is free. Everybody is welcome. If you are interested in ushering, please come and see me after. We're looking for 2 more people to usher. Your responsibilities will be from 6:30 to 7, and then you'll come in and take a seat and enjoy the concert. So it's a minimal commitment, if you will. All right, thank you. Who am I handing this off to next?
Next, we're going to have Renee Johnson, who's sharing an announcement from our United Women in Faith. Thank you.
Good morning. Well, last August, 6 United Women in Faith members went on a road trip to visit the United Methodist Community House in Grand Rapids. We were so impressed with Carla Moore and the work UMCH is doing that we decided she needed to come to Midland so the rest of you could hear about the mission outreach they do. I extended that invitation for her to come, and I'm pleased to say she brought Eric Williams, the other half of this dynamic duo, along with her. Could the two of you please just stand a moment? So let's give them a warm welcome. Thank you. So grab your coffee after the service and then head to the chapel to learn about what's in the future for United Methodist Community House. Thank you.
Thank you, Renee. It's always good to hear what the church is doing beyond Midland First. And so here's an opportunity that has come to us this morning. Again, that's after worship in our chapel this morning. For our last announcement, I want to remind our families with children birth through fifth grade and those serving on the children's ministry team that we will have a listening session in the hub downstairs immediately after worship through noon. Child care during this meeting is available, and that will be in P4. The purpose of this session is to receive your feedback and to share the transition plan in place as we work to fill the open position of children's and youth director on the church's staff. Just a quick note, following our worship service, it's my usual practice to greet the congregation after worship at the back. Today, I will be departing the sanctuary and immediately heading to the listening session so that I can facilitate this time with our families and our children's ministry team. And so I thank you for your understanding this morning. So those are just a few announcements that we have to be connected and be a part of the mission and life together here at Midland First. Certainly there's much more happening, so I encourage you to open your weekly e-blast, your weekly email from the church office to hear all that is taking place within the church. If you aren't yet receiving those, I invite you to contact the church office so that we can add you to the distribution of that email. So with all of this, we're going to stand and to greet one another. If you will remain standing after our time of greeting, Katie will bring us back together with a ring of the bell and we'll have our call to worship. Hope it heals well.
For the call to worship, Christ asked Peter if he loved him.
Peter affirmed three times his love
for the Lord. Christ asks us if we love him. Christ calls us to demonstrate our love in service.
Lord, cause us to witness your love in ways in which we care for others.
Amen. If you would remain standing in turn in your hymnal or look on the screen, we will be singing hymn number 88, Maker in Whom We Love.
Thank you.
Before the kids come up, I would like to do a little bit of an announcement that didn't get on the list, sorry. Another blessing for our kids besides the one we're getting this morning is that in a month, we're going to have Vacation Bible School. We're very excited to announce that it will be held June 3rd, 4th, and 5th. It will start at 5 o'clock, excuse me, with dinner for families available. At 5:30, the Bible school kids, ages 3 through 5th grade, will leave and come up to the sanctuary. We will have a time of gathering and praising God. Then we'll have some Bible lessons, some stations, and a closing time. The theme is magnified, and we'll be magnifying even the smallest things that God has created, and we'll include our kids in that. God's love will be with us the entire time. Registration will be posted online very soon, as well as a link for you to volunteer. We can definitely use lots of help from people who care about kids. Please consider joining us and inviting others to, in fact, other small people that you know maybe in your community to come and join us for our three-night intensive magnified experience. Now, can the kids come up for their blessing? All right, guys, I'm so happy to see each and every one of you here today. You've all gotten taller, it seems like. Every time I come up here, I'm shorter and you're taller. Our lesson today is about, I know you're getting bigger, about the disciple Thomas. He is called Doubting Thomas because he doubted the truth of the resurrection. He wondered if Jesus was really alive again. He needed to see or touch Jesus. Adeline, can you listen? Can you please listen? He needed to see or touch Jesus to know for sure. We can't do what Thomas did, but we can believe in Jesus because of the love of his people that he sends to us, of what we learn about him in the Bible, and know that we can pray to him because he hears our prayer. When Thomas sees Jesus and knows Jesus is really alive, he confirmed all this with these words, "My Lord and God." Let us pray. Thank you, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, for bringing us peace, joy, and love. We can't see you with our eyes, so please help us know you in our hearts. Amen. Okay.
God, we do thank you for all of the gifts that you give us. And we pray that you would use these gifts to build up your kingdom for your honor and glory. We thank you for all the ways you provide for us and all that you do for us. We pray all of these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied, "you know that I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know that I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time, he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, "Follow me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever considered who you would choose to play yourself in a movie? Well, think about that for a moment. Who would you choose to play yourself in a movie? I like some of the looks I'm getting on your faces. Myself, I might choose martial artist and actor Jet Li for his athleticism and quiet demeanor. Or, having grown out my hair recently, I might go with Lou Diamond Phillips for his flowing locks of jet black hair. Or maybe a stretch, I might even go with Sean Connery. After all, I'm pretty confident his British accent would make any sermon sound more profound. So in all seriousness, who would you choose? And even more to my point this morning, what would the theme of your life's movie be? Indeed, if our life movie was intended for the glitz and glamour of Hollywood, most of us would focus on our greatest achievements, the positive impact our life has had on others, the pinnacle of our professional or vocational achievements. Or perhaps we might even choose one of our own storybook endings. But what if you knew that your life's movie would have a limited release? What if you knew it would be kept to a private screening for you and for you alone? What would be the theme of your life's movie then? I don't have any polls or studies to cite for you this morning. However, my sense is that there are enough of us here for whom our greatest regrets or failures would have a defining role in our life's movie. If this movie was just for us, perhaps a disappointment, a loss, a regret, or something else along these lines would have a defining theme. In other words, we tend to view ourselves through our hardships, whether in that very moment or the more extensive scope of our lives. So, bottom line, if you were to write the script to your life's movie, which you alone would see, what are the defining moments and themes of this movie? All this is on display for us to see as we come alongside Peter and Jesus one morning after God had raised Jesus from the dead. This conversation occurs after a scene very reminiscent to one at the beginning of Jesus' ministry in Luke's gospel, when the disciples encounter Jesus after a long night of bad fishing. This time around here in John's gospel, Peter is joined by Thomas, the one nicknamed the twin, Nathanael of Cana, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Similar to when this happened previously, Jesus instructs his disciples on what to do. The disciples follow Jesus' instructions, and in doing so, they have a miraculous catch. And much like last time, the sheer volume of their catch reveals to them who Jesus is. And with this, John exclaims to Peter, "It is the Lord." And so Peter responds by jumping out of the boat to join Jesus on shore, while the other disciples who are present bring in their catch. In due time, the disciples all join Jesus around a fire and for breakfast. All this takes place before our passage this morning in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. Interestingly, John tells us that this is the third time that Jesus had appeared to the disciples after his resurrection. And it's here in this passage that we listen in on a conversation between Peter and Jesus after breakfast. Mind you, this is the first time we hear of a direct exchange between the two since Peter's bitter denial of Jesus three times before the rooster's crow and before Jesus' death. And so here, three times, Jesus asks Peter something to the effect, "Do you love me?" And three times Simon Peter answers, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." After which Jesus responds, "Then feed my lambs. Then take care of my sheep. Then feed my sheep." After the third exchange, Jesus asked Simon, "Do you love me?" And it's after that third time that Simon breaks down. The Bible says that Peter is hurt, that he is grieved, saddened, that Peter is sorrowful. Perhaps being asked this third time, do you love me? The apostle is heavy laden with guilt or shame with his regrets and failures. And so if Peter were to write the script to his life's work, and he alone would know it, what might be the overarching theme to it? Christian author and counselor and lecturer John Eldridge discusses this passage from John's Gospel in a video he produced to accompany his book, Get Your Life Back. And his thoughts on it and his reflections on it caught my attention, since he sees this interaction between Jesus and Peter very differently than I had before. See, I used to think that Jesus was somewhat rebuking Simon for having denied him, for having failed him. As if to say, if you love me, then you can no longer go about doing what you had done. You can no longer go about denying me. Instead, feed my lamb. Care for and feed my sheep. And follow me. Almost as if Jesus is reminding Peter that more is expected. And reminding Peter that more is required. But Eldridge views all this very differently. Instead of seeing this conversation as a rebuke, he sees it as Jesus' gentle way of helping Peter to tend to a neglected place in Peter's soul. Eldridge mentions that much like a beach ball, which inevitably pops to the surface despite our efforts, Eldridge contends the same occurs with these unattended moments, these unattended regrets and failures in our lives. That left attended, these failures and regrets fester within. That they unwittingly sap our joy for life. That they inevitably surface over time. And so Eldridge sees this exchange in John chapter 21 as Jesus' way of helping Peter bring his hurt to the surface, to bring to the surface his denial of Jesus and all that remains with it, the self-reproach and disappointment, the grief and shame, to bring Peter's regrets and failures up to the surface. Jesus does this so that Peter can name it, that Peter might claim it, and then move on. if it were not so, what Jesus had said in the end, follow me. No, I don't believe that Jesus had given up on Peter. And far from identifying Simon Peter with his past and most notable failures, Jesus affirms him with grace. I think the challenge for many is that if we are forthright of our life script, we struggle. We struggle with our disappointments and our regrets and our failures. But what does it say to us that Jesus, knowing all of these, still says to us, is still calling out to us, is still inviting us to feed his lambs, to tend to his sheep, and to follow him? Jesus didn't give up on Peter, nor does he give up on us. He doesn't deny our shortcomings. Instead, he sees them, names them, and then calls us to walk on and move on beyond them. In our life scripts, regrets and failure never get the final word. It is by God's grace and hope that we are redeemed. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Righteous and holy God, in the quiet of this morning, and in the quiet of your sanctuary, we remember Peter's story, his life's story. And in his conversation with Jesus, perhaps we remember for a moment, his hurts. His sadness and his failures. And in his regret in having denied Jesus. And Lord, through your word and through the Holy Spirit, perhaps some of us this morning are reminded of those moments in our own lives. Perhaps there are moments just in this past week or this past season. Or perhaps there are moments that have hung on our hearts for several seasons, if not many, in our lives. Lord, in Jesus' invitation to feed your lambs, to tend to your sheep, and to still follow you, help us to hear this invitation in our own lives. Help us to know that we are not defined by those moments we wish we could forget, but more so by your grace that uses all things for good, the lives of those who love you. So lighten our hearts. Help us to know the Holy Spirit's work in our lives, that we might continue to follow you and to bring your grace and to bring your kingdom in a world that needs it today. We pray this, O Lord, in your very name, amen. Friends, it's fitting that we would celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion this morning. For at this table, and at Jesus' invitation, we are reminded that we are much more than our regrets and failures. We are reminded that we are loved. We are reminded that we are invited to follow Him. And we are reminded that we are defined by Jesus' promises to us. And so all are invited this morning, but none are required to share in this gift of grace. You need not be a member of this church or any other church to receive communion this morning. We simply ask that if you do come forward to receive communion, that your mind and heart is open to receive this renewing love that we've talked about and worshiped about all morning long. This morning, we'll receive communion by inviting you to come forward. We'll have three stations at the front. We invite you to come forward through the center aisle to receive communion at any of the stations and then return using the side aisles. There is gluten-free bread here this morning for those who are needing elements that are gluten-free. Know that those have been set aside in the bowls on each of the communion plates this morning. You know, lead us through a time of prayer and liturgy that we might prepare ourselves to receive this gift of God's love. In doing so, I invite you to turn to page 12 in your hymnal, or your responses will be on the screen and behind me. Let us prepare now to encounter our risen Lord here today. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before our God and one another. Let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us take these next few moments of silence to confess our sins to our loving God. Hear Easter's good news, that Christ died for us, knowing our regrets and failures, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour
Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. With those who are helping to serve communion, please come forward.
Spread.
Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for your promise and your grace in our life. Indeed, nourished at your table, may we bring your redeeming love and presence out into the world. In your very name, amen.
I invite you to stand for our closing song today, a song called We Are the Body of Christ, and the words will help you to remember that as a body we are of one heart, of one spirit, and of one voice to praise God. So please join us as we sing.
Thank you.
have let go of our regrets or our deepest failures and who moved on. But as life goes, I imagine that there's still some among us for whom we haven't yet done that work. For whom we still carry regrets and failures. And I invite you this week to bring those to Jesus and then to hear our Lord say, "Follow me." May we do that with the redeeming grace of our Holy Spirit, reminding us that indeed we are the body of Christ and have this good news to share. Amen. Amen.